Hello, good morning, and you are most welcome to the program of Democracy in Action. My name is Annie Martin. In our episode of today, we shall be discussing about a very important topic, that is the rule of law as a democratic pillar, ensuring equal legal standard in the Republic of South Sudan. That's what we are going to be discussing about, and our lines will be open to you, where you can call us on 091206-7879 or 091206-7929. Or you can also send us your SMS number with your question to our line 091-2177-141. Those are all our lines. You can get in touch with us here and ask your question as we discuss the rule of law as a democratic pillar ensuring equal legal standard in our country. And the rule of law is a cornerstone of good governance, ensuring that all individuals and institutions, including the government itself, are accountable to clear, stable, and publicly allow themselves to the rule of law. It's also promoting transparency, participatory, and non-discriminatory legal framework where at least laws are equally enforced and rights are protected by an independent judiciary. The question we're asking today is what are the key aspects of the rule of law in good governance in South Sudan? I am joined here in the studio by two of my guests, and they will be sharing their opinions with us here. Farouk Ismail is the program coordinator, South Sudan Law Society. Good morning, and thank you so much for honoring our invitation.
Good morning, listeners, and good morning, Sunny. Thanks for the invite. Glad to be here.
Okay, and I also have with me here Advocate Garang Geng, who is the head of research and publication, School of Law, University of Juba, and at the same time, a lecturer. You are most welcome to Radio Mirai.
Thank you, sir, and our listeners. I'm glad to be here.
Okay. And first of all, let's begin with Farouk. What does the term rule of law mean in the context of democracy in the Republic of South Sudan?
Yeah, thank you so much, Sunny, and thanks for bringing up this important discussion in regards to rule of law and then the context of South Sudan in particular. When you look at our context or what the rule of law talks about, this namely just signifies a system where all individuals, all institutions, entities, including the government itself and the people are all accountable to the laws, and these are the laws that are publicly promulgated, whereby all citizens participated in promulgating such laws, especially the issue to do with the constitution, whereby when you have constitution like in South Sudan being the supreme law of the land, this has to be a document whereby all rights are enforced inside there independently and has to be adjudicated without any difference or without any segregation. And this comes in handy with all the international human rights principles that are all governed within the same constitution. And it has no eyes, no ears. Mm-hmm. It views everyone equally before it.
Okay. And Advocate Garanga, where you sit in the University of Juba, you are the head of research and publication, and at the same time, I guess you are teaching law in the University of Juba. How do you define the rule of law?
Thank you very much, Sunny. And like I said earlier, it's a pleasure to have this opportunity to discuss an important topic that is not only to the law of paternity, but to our society. Like my colleague Farouk has clearly put it, a rule of law is a concept that establishes that all entities, individuals, and institutions are accountable to the law. Key aspects include legality, mm-hmm. that to say laws should be public known, fair, and transparent. even in the making process of the law should be fair and transparent to everybody. It's why it is important now, even our ongoing consumer-making process, we are supposed now to ensure that all of us, regardless of our status, we should be part of the process so that we should know the outcomes of our law. Nobody should come out late and say, this is not my law.
Mm-hmm.
It should be
inclusive.
We should be all aware of the law. So that's exactly the principle of rule of law. Another aspect of the rule of law is the accountability. Rule of law ensures that all of us, we should be under the law. We should be accountable to our actions, the government actions. So this is an important aspect of the rule of law as well. And then also it's equality before the law. American jurisdictions call it equal protection of law. We say equality before the law and mean the same thing. All of us are under the law and not be above the law. And maybe before I conclude, rule of law also ensure that there should also be legal uncertainty, predictability of the laws. This is important for us, for our businesses. If you woke up tomorrow and find a new law, the next day another law, you know, it can even cost, you know, instability. So rule of law ensure that there's stability in all aspects, you know, of the things we do. So it's an important aspect of the law and an important aspect of civil of democracy.
And why do you think the rule of law is considered as a foundational pillar in a country like South?
Thank you very much on that question. Very important questions. I think I will have a few things to share on that aspect.
Yeah.
One, when we have rule of law in place, it prevents an abuse of power. Because rule of law limits the authority you have. You know where your power starts and ends. In that way, we have minimized the risk of abusing the power that you are given under the law. That is why it's an important. Second, it protects rights and liberties. We are all entitled to certain rights as humans, persons, and it's the duty of the government to ensure that these rights are protected. And the absence of rule of law, when the rule of law breaks down, it is not the law, the order is in place. It's risky for the citizen to enjoy the right. And this is rule of law. And I said earlier, it also ensures accountability as well when you have it. In summary, rule of law is cornerstone to enjoyment of all the other rights that are entitled under the law.
And in your opinion, do you believe that South Sudanese are enjoying that dividend now?
As well, it's a good question again. First of all, we have two principles to say, in the law and the practice. When you look at our constitution and other laws, our rights and other entitlements are clearly spelled out. But then comes the practical aspect of the law. It's also another journey. So one thing to achieve is to have the laws in place, and then now whether you also enjoy such rights. In my view, we have seen how struggling we are, even access to courts now, to claim your rights. I have not, maybe Ismail will help later, mm-hmm. I have not seen so far how many human rights cases that have been handled by our judiciary so far. You know, if you go there, the cases are normally commercials, maybe a few criminal cases in and there, but human rights cases where citizens or a group of citizens, you know, complain to the judiciary, you know, and then ensure the rights are, you know, and then landmark judgment is delivered the next day. I've not seen that. This shows that the extent to what how we enjoy the rights in this country is still very, very, very low in terms of how we enjoy the rights. So in short, we have not yet, you know, received the dividends of our rights and even the independence. So that's what I think in my view.
Okay. And let's hear more from Farouk. First of all, how does the principle of equal legal standard protect both the majority, like you heard from Garang, and the minority, group in a democratic society like ours, South Sudan?
Yeah, thank you so much. When you look at the core principles in terms of the three core values, that to say accountability, whereby you find the government actors are held accountable in what they do, how they do it, and when do they do it, and how are checks and balances provided. That's why we have the arms of the government, where we have the executive, we have the judiciary, and the parliament, to say these arms of government were not created in a vacuum, but to provide checks and balance, and to make sure that there is no one arm that can oppress the other, and also no one has a right to oppress on the citizens. This is basically what the rule of law says. How do we have a law which is just, a law which is blind, that cannot say that this is Sunny, let me keep a deaf ear on Sunny, this is Advocate Gang, let me not look at Gang, but this is Farouk, now I will apply myself as a law. This one becomes unjust law, which is contrary to the principles of rule of law. In other words, when you look at a system where we have an open government, where, what do I mean by open government? A government whereby all the laws that are adjudicated are enforced. When you look at the South Sudan context, let me say we have some beautiful laws, yes, but we have a challenge in implementation of these laws. And the challenge comes in handy in terms of some of the capacities. And when you look at our context right now, we might have those capacities. But when it comes to its implementation, you find it's very difficult in terms of opening up in transparency, in terms of citizens' participation, and also seeking opinions in terms of freedom of expression and assembly, including association, which are some of the ingredients to rule of law and enjoyment of right in a democratic context. Accessibility to justice, Advocate Gang mentioned it clearly, that even you find in some counties, or when you look at Juba, you'll think South Sudan is complete. But when you go out of Juba, you'll know that some institutions have not reached the people. Mm-hmm. And like especially to do with the judiciary advocating for cases, you find like our traditional authorities, the chiefs, have stepped up to fill up some of these gaps, of which they go even beyond their jurisdiction, or, and some even go ahead to try murder cases using our customary system of trial of cases, whereby the compensation comes in handy and all that. But all this happens because the institutions have not reached to the people, and people have devised means to live by themselves and coordinate some of the cases.
Okay, if you have just joined us right now, you're listening to Democracy in Action. My name is Sunny Martin. We are coming to you live from Juba, and today we are discussing the rule of law as a democratic pillar, ensuring equal legal standard in our country. That's what we are discussing here. And in the studio, I have Farouk Ismail, who is the program coordinator, South Sudan Law Society, Advocate Garang Geng, head of research and publication, School of Law, University of Juba.
You're listening to Radio Miraya, the voice of peace.
Yes, our lines will be open to you, where you can call us on 091206-7879 or 091206-7929. You can also send us your comment or SMS number 091-2177-141. Those are all our lines. You can get in touch with us here and ask my two guests as we discuss this important topic here. Advocate Garang, the question people should be asking you when we open our lines right now is that what is the role of the citizens in holding these government officials, our key institutions, accountable to ensure that there is fairness and equality before the law? Like you have just heard that the law should not be applied selectively.
Thank you very much, Sunny, for this another important questions. First, we is said, rights are claimed, not given.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they are entitled in the law, you also have a duty as well to also ensure that you also fight for them. So for the citizens to hold institutions accountable or to ensure that the rule of law is in effect, I think the first is know your rights. That is the first thing in my view. Because even in this very country, ours, one of the major challenges that most of us as citizens do not know which one is their rights and which one is not. Which one should government do, which one should not government should not do. So this is important first thing. We integrate our people so that they know their rights. When they know their rights, they are able to account the institutions. And then other ways our citizens can hold institutions accountable is, of course, using the legal channels, the available legal channels. This can be court or even the human rights commissions. You know, they can be also a venue where we can also lodge our concerns there, and then the rights are picked up there. And also participate in, you know, in the civic life, you know. Like electing leaders that respect the rule of law. I know we have not been having elections in this country for quite long, but this should have been one of the ways that our citizens can hold the government or institution accountable. Because it is easiest to account an elected leader than an appointed leader.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you an example of India. India now is being regarded as the largest democracy in the world. This is because from the top up to the lowest level of the government are all elected. You see? That alone is a ground for you, the citizen, to question the leader, what are you doing? You're not going to come the next elections, you know? So you make sure that you ensure your duties well, you know? So that is important to participate in civic election. I mean, life. And of course, you demand as well, you know, for transparency as well from the government. It's important to also demand your rights, you know, from the government officials, from the institution, as citizens as well. So it's one of the effective ways you can use to hold institution accountable. Currently now, with the latest technologies like social media, Facebook and all this, you know, you can also speak there. You know, write something that you see is not going well, and you can be heard. And of course, peaceful protests and demonstrations. When the laws are not favoring you, I'll give an example of what happened in Kenya of recent,
mm-hmm.
when the citizen took to the street to protest against the financial bill that they felt was not favoring their businesses and their life. You know, that is one of the ways citizens can also ensure that the rights are upheld. The bill, before it comes law, is an opportunity for you, the citizen, now to look at it first. If it's something you don't like and government is seem to enforce it, you can protest.
But is it applicable in our system given the current situation the country is facing?
Yes, our constitution permits peaceful demonstration.
Mm-hmm.
You can peacefully protest what you think is illegal or what you think is not favoring you. But then the key thing here, there was a mistake in Kenya protest. I can also highlight that.
Yeah.
When you protest on particular matter, it has to be that particular matter. It should not transgress to another issue, which was not the reason you took to the street. An example was, in Kenya, the protest was about the financial bill. Days later, it turned to something else,
mm-hmm.
something like Ruto must go. So that was completely not what they went to the street. And now, this is now what gives fears to the government. If people are allowed now to claim the rights, it might turn into something bigger.
Okay, but so, now, just my question is, in that context,
yes.
I guess in South Sudan, people, many citizens fear to do that, because they are all indicators of what can make people to this peacefully.
This brings us to the point, even to the point number one I said before, know your rights.
Yeah.
You see, Pierre is as a result of not knowing your rights. If you know what you're doing is right thing, okay, granted in the Constitution, then there's no reason why you should not ask for it, whatever that means. There are a lot of ways I've mentioned already. Demand it, protest it, join the civil society organizations. These are all avenues available for the citizen to, the tool actually, I can tell you the tools.
Yeah.
The tool you can use, you know, to get your right. But then, if you have no knowledge, you don't know which one is your right, which one is your right, then that's where the problem is.
Okay. Yeah. Yes, Farouk, at the moment here in Juba, if you speak to more than five people, you'll hear from them that I would rather forfeit any case rather than going to court, because once you go to court, it will take you ages to get justice. You go there, you have to bribe, you have to give this, you have to do that. Sometimes you are told to give some money to go and buy papers, go and photocopy this and all that. And it takes time, and this can frustrate someone to just say, okay, Carlos, let me just keep quiet, and God is there. So how do we address these kind of challenges when it comes to the issue of rule of law?
Yeah, thank you so much, Sunny. This is a fact, and when we are talking, we have to put the context where we are. We shall not be too academic in terms of what is happening out there. First of all, we have a population which in most cases are unaware of their rights. If you have an informed citizenry, they can stand up and say, we want this and I want my case to move. What have you done to have an informed citizenry? First of all, the judiciary itself, we're now involving in judicial reform. That you've had, it has been going on and on, and all the consultations are done, report is launched, is now the implementation part that is remaining in terms of that. You know, we had gaps in terms of the number of judges that we are meant to have, and even the institutions have not trickled down to their people. So when it comes to bribery and all that, I cannot deny nor I can say yes. Such instances normally happen, not only in South Sudan, but there are those minor incidences that normally happens. But if you stand up for your right and know that, please, I'm not supposed to do A, B, and C, and everything comes back to an informed citizenry. And in terms of getting back your right, what are you even supposed to do in terms of demanding the transparent legal process? Because you want to go, our council is talking about public interest litigation cases. We have never had one, though we tried to file some, but the files are kept somewhere. So these are the reforms that we need to come out openly, and we should not pretend that everything is okay. Things are not fine. People are suffering out there. And others, we do provide them with free legal aid services that people cannot afford the legal service or the legal fees. That comes in handy with the current economy, whereby you have your issue, it's land in a prime place, of course you have to pay for court fees, of which the court fees sometimes someone cannot really handle it. Mm-hmm. And us who provide the free legal service, we can only do the representation, but we cannot go further to pay the court fees. That one, we used to have some people to help us here and there, but the situation kept on changing and the context keeps on trickling. So we need to have an informed citizenry who can demand their right and also make a documentation. We deal with evidence-based, whereby if you say a certain judge has asked for something, please endeavor to have something that you think we can present to that person, and Sunny will say, yes, this is an adequate evidence, not basing on hearsay.
And how do we ensure that, Advocate Garang said, the citizens are informed, they know their rights, and do the right thing, rather than just complaining and sitting behind and talking and things are not moving right?
Yeah, we have to engage on information sharing. That is what I mentioned it at civic education and civic engagement. How do we do that? We need to have people who are informed to inform the uninformed so that the uninformed can have basic knowledge of what their rights are supposed to be. Like we have civil society organizations who are tasked to be doing that. And then we have those who are tasked to provide the legal services. But if we don't go down to our people and to tell them that, look, you have a right here, and that right is A, B, C, D. Initially, when you look at our customs, our customary laws, sometimes they are more repugnant with the statutory laws. In a way, there are things that the customs can permit, but our statutory laws cannot, including our constitution. And this one, we have been singing it throughout, like we have to know our rights, especially women's right to own properties and owning land. This has been, in terms of inheritance, that's why we have a family law bill laying at the Minister of Justice. I think we need to push that to come out in terms of protecting some of these rights, because our customs have been sitting in most of the rights, but now we need to figure out which customs are so repugnant to the statutory, so that we see how do we harmonize the two. This is the society of South Sudanese, and we need to know how do we come out of these sticking points to know that everyone has a right and that right is not denied.
Okay. Yes, before our lines are open, I would like to ask this Advocate Garang. First of all, in the face of this political influence in our country and a lot of insecurity, so many are happening in this country. The question is actually, what can be done to protect the rule of law? At least when some people are trying to talk about democracy, what can be done to protect the rule of law, given the fact that the country is facing a lot of challenges in terms of security, in terms of economy, like you heard from Farouk, that if I have a case, I can't be in position to pay for the court case?
Thank you very much. You know, this rule of law concept is really threatened in places such as South Sudan. And the safeguards are not or more or less than first to have an independent and partial judiciary. This is key to the realization of rule of law. When we talk of independent judiciary, independent from the political interference, that's from the executive. Even independence in their finance, that is the law created a consolidated funds for the judiciary. Independence even in the appointments. I will give you an example of our current judiciary. Our current judiciary has been facing a lot of challenges. And it is the judiciary that is the custodians of the laws. It is the judiciary that interprets the laws and ensure that they are applied in a fair and transparent manner. But they cannot do this at the faces of political interference, intimidations, and many more. So for us to safeguard the rule of law and to reduce corruption or social inequality, an independent judiciary is key in this regard. The other more was what colleagues Farouk was here to talk about, is checks and balances. Checks and balance, it go along with the other principle called separation of powers. You have the power separated among the three organs of the government. Parliament make laws, judiciary execute them, the executive execute them, and judiciary interpret them. But then the constitution say no, even if you do all this, then there has to be another principle as well, which seems to violate the first principle. That's check and balance. The parliament must also see the executives are doing the right things. And that's why there's impeachment of the president, there is someone of the ministers. That is not a check itself. It's a right of the parliament to someone, any minister or a governor, and also impeach the president or vice presidents if their duties or mandates are not according to the constitution. the parliament too, who make the laws, cannot also ascend them to law as well. It has to be president as well, the executive.
Mm-hmm.
That's also a check of the legislature on the parliament. Judiciary, on the other hand, declare other laws that are constitutional, null and void. So for us to safeguard the rule of law, principle of check and balance and supreme powers have to be, you know, strengthened.
Okay. Yes, our lines are open. You can call us on 0912067789 or 0912067829. Those are all our lines. You can get in touch with us. And we have a couple of SMS here. This one says, I would like to thank my the panelists in the studio. Here in South Sudan, when you try to claim your right, the government will not allow you to do that. If you try to demonstrate, it's not on the street. We are told we don't have rubber bullets, only live bullets. That's what some of the government officials are saying. How do we claim our rights when we are being threatened by the same government which is supposed to protect us and implement the laws as enshrined in our constitution? Another SMS here is saying that I agree with the Farouk. The rule of law is only applied in Juba, but for us in the States, things are happening. That's why you see people being killed. Nobody have ever been arrested. Cattle raiding happening all over. 20, 30 people killed during cattle raid. Nothing. No rule of law. There is a breakdown of the rule of law in the Republic of South Sudan that requires to be fixed. How do we fix that? That's from Jackson here in WoW, rather. That's, he's writing from WoW. You can pick one more and give you the chance to answer. Hello?
Yes, Sandy Martin.
Yes, your name?
Akok Nelson, all the way from Munich, Ian.
Okay, Akok, go ahead.
Thank you so much. I do appreciate and I welcome the guest studio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's be passed excellent my regard to Molan Negere, Faru.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, let's say that I'm going to be having a little more question, but you always know me. One more question is for me.
Yeah.
Exactly. Now, my question is going like this. Whether the religion goals of the South Sudanese citizens to know that the government of South Sudan is considering the right of the citizens. The reason why I'm saying I'm going to be having the mention example of that, how many government officials are being dismissed in the government institution knowing that they collect the public servants purposely and with government has not even stand and show them one day one time. And thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes, Akok from Monikia is asking about the issue of accountability. So many people have been dismissed, but we don't see anything to do with accountability. Let's begin with the question that came from that when we won't claim our right, we are being threatened that if you demonstrate on the street, we don't have rubber bullets, but we do have live bullets. We are being scared. How do we claim our rights when we are being scared by the same government? Jackson from WoW is saying that there is a breakdown of the rule of law in the country. So many conflicts are happening. Nobody have ever been held accountable. You see during cattle raiding, intercommunal conflict, many people are killed. Nobody have been arrested and tried in the court of law. So how do we fix the issue of breakdown of the rule of law? Plus this question about also the same like accountability. Yes, Farouk.
Yeah, thank you so much. These are good questions. And the questions are tied up to how do we protect all the rule of law, whereby the first thing that we need to have in place to address all these questions and all that is we need to have a robust constitutionalism. When I mean robust constitutionalism is we need to have a people's-driven constitution in place whereby it ties up all the rights into it and the constitution that is accepted by everyone, that no one can slide out of it. However, in our context now, the peace agreement under Chapter 6 has given us a leverage for constitution-making process. This would be how we can start addressing the issue to do with the rights. Like the current context, when we say you're going to protest, we've seen some examples. When people announce protest, it turns into something else. Like you have to seek clearance from police when you want to protest. And it's the police to protect you in most of the context within...
And even show you the roads to
shows
use.
You where to go, how to do it. They guide you, apparently. This is how a peaceful protest should be. There is one protest that was peaceful, though there were some group of women protesting from the airport, and then they walked. They were guided by police. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, our context in terms of insecurity and you don't know who is who has made it a little bit tight. In terms of civic space, the civic space is not that all left out, like you can go and protest and all that. But these are some of the governing ideologies in terms of rule of law that will govern freedom of speech, freedom of media, freedom of peaceful assembly. I keep on mentioning the word peaceful in a way that when you're demanding a right, you have to differentiate on whether your right is demanded in a right way or your right you're going to use demanding on your right to go beyond and becomes violent. But if it's put within the mandate and you talk to the authorities, I think something can be given on that. But we have not seen this happening. And in most cases, there are some few RSC and there that we've been handling. But that's the fact that our context sometimes does not favor all your rights. So we need to come together and work on our constitution. And then we come out with the constitution that is accepted to everyone. Like in the States, as you said from WOW, that the rule of law is only in Juba. Not only, even Juba has a lot of gaps. So we have to do a lot in terms of the whole country, the whole of South Sudan. It's not only in Juba, but the fact remains we need to do a lot in terms of reaching out. How do we strengthen the capacity of our judiciary and all other institutions, including the police and the prison service? We need capacity strengthening and support so that we get the right people and the right place to at least give back what their mandate is supposed to be. In terms of holding people accountable, like Akok said, a government employee or someone is dismissed knowing that he has pocketed public funds, but he goes unchecked. No one even talks about it. When someone is dismissed, itarfa beg bitak itarwa, you don't come back again. So this has been the practice. And the only few prosecution that we had, I don't know which year was it, and... it was within the president's office.
Yeah.
We had people. People. The 14 people were taken to court and others were sentenced. Though some of them didn't complete their sentencing, but at their terms in prison. But at least they felt that no one is above the law. Someone can go into coolers.
Mm-hmm.
So the practice would have continued that way in terms of investigations. And also, we've not strengthened our anti-corruption commission. We have an anti-corruption commission which cannot bite. The case is referred back to the executive, which is the Minister of Justice, to try their own people. So we would like to have an independent anti-corruption commission who are given teeth to try their cases, because you cannot investigate and hand over food to someone who might not be willing to eat your food.
Mm-hmm.
So these are some of the gaps that we have, and it has really weakened our system in a way. We cannot bring government officials who are suspected to have tempered with public funds or anything to do with corruption. But we've seen some MPs also going into the prison. But we need to do more in terms of strengthening our institutions.
Okay, yes. Advocate Garang, you want to add something before we conclude?
I think my colleague Paruk has provided a good summary of all the questions, so I will not bother you much anymore. But like I said earlier, rights are claimed. Not given. So we are aware of the challenges that our citizens face, especially when you like to protest peacefully, you know, and all this. I'm aware of those. There is a challenge. Yes. We have heads on time. Someone saying, government officials saying, we have no tear gas. We have live bullets. This is we have heard of this study of statement before, and but it's not a reason not to to still ask for rights. It's entitled, they should ask for. Accountability is key to rule of law. It's a filler of the rule of law. People should be accountable. But, you know, these measles that happen every evenings, they are also not so clear. The reason are not mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Why someone is dismissed? Is it because of your corruption? Is it because the time has come up?
Is it incompetence?
Is incompetence? It's not known. So it's also difficult as well for for us to also know how can these people be accounted.
Okay.
These are not facts.
Yeah. As we conclude, with this last question and briefly before we go to the newsroom, the issue of delay in trials, corruption, lack of the independence of the judiciary, how does it undermine democratic governance and the rule of law?
Big time, because like I said earlier, an independent judiciary is key to realizing the rule of law, because judiciary is the safe haven for everybody, which is where you run to, get saved. But such scenario, like our situations, where in instances where the judiciary will not be in position to deliver justice to you, then it's a big problem. There's a gleam of hope now with the new changes in the judiciary, including the Minister of Justice as well. You know, we hope for reforms so that the citizen can be able to enjoy their rights to some extent.
Okay. And finally, Farouk, this same issue of delay in trials, you have talked about it. How does it really undermine the rule of law in this country?
Yeah, there's a saying that justice delayed is justice denied. So any delay for you to get your right, that means you've not accessed it. And we have some good examples in the region where judiciary are independent. When you look at Kenya in 2017 when they nullified the election, Justice Magara was on top of that, and that one has taken him to another level. In South Africa, they wanted to withdraw from the International Criminal Court, but the High Court said, no, you don't have that mandate to withdraw from the International Criminal Court. So an independent judiciary gives direction on how the country should move and how the executive should check themselves, not coming up with unilateral decisions on behalf of the citizens and on behalf of the country.
Thank you so much, Farouk Ismail, Program Coordinator, South Sudan Law Society, and Advocate Garang Geng, Head of Research and Publication, School of Law, University of Juba. I thank you both for coming to our studio.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
And with that, we have come to the end of this week's episode of Democracy in Action. We talked about the rule of law as a democratic pillar, ensuring equal legal standard. My name is Annie Martin. Thank you so much for listening. Stay tuned.